Welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Allow me to announce the hymns for our radio listeners. We'll be following Divine Service Setting 4, which begins on page 203 in the Lutheran Service Builder, or book, sorry. Opening hymn 673, Jerusalem, My Happy Home. Hymn of the day is 708, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. Distribution hymns 730, What Is the World to Me? 741, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense. 922, Go My Children. Closing hymn is 850, God of Grace and God of Glory. Begin with your opening hymn.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Together we sing the introit. It's printed on the yellow insert.
Thank you. with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace, that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Amos, chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Canaan Sea, and from there go to Hamath the Great. They go to Gan, to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence, woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches, neat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest of oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual on the yellow insert. From 1 Timothy chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, and then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Together we confess our faith is written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From our Old Testament reading and Gospel reading, we hear talk about enjoying material wealth and luxury in this life, but it's about a lot more than that. Amos talks about woe to those who are at ease, those who feel secure, woe to those who stretch themselves out on their couches, eat lambs and calves, sing idle songs, who drink wine in bowls, anoint themselves with the finest of oils, and are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Speaking woe to those who are living in luxury, particularly the leaders, but not grieved over the spiritual depravity that's ruining the northern kingdom, Amos refers to poetically as Joseph. It sounds familiar, like the culture we live in. We can relate to living at ease, stretching out on our couches, eating and drinking whatever we want, enjoying idle entertainment, pampering ourselves. And then what about the spiritual depravity in our land? Are we enjoying lives of luxury, but not grieving over the spiritual depravity that's ruining our country, our community? The Lord speaks to us through the prophet, even today. The Lord speaks to us through the gospel, also today. Hear about the rich man who wore fine clothes, feasted sumptuously every day. While at his gate, the poor man, Lazarus, covered in sores, desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. The contrast is stark. The rich man's lifestyle is excessive. He's spending his wealth on his own pleasures, ignoring the obvious and immediate needs of the beggar at his door. The poor man, Lazarus, died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's side to enjoy the Lord's banquet. Abraham seated in this place of honor. Lazarus is at his side. He's resting on Abraham. It's a warm and intimate image. They're feasting, enjoying the company of saints. This is the feast that Lazarus had heard about in God's word. He's there. He's home. The rich man died and was buried. He's in Hades, in anguish, of flame, in torment. He's in hell. Those who don't believe in hell, or believe that maybe you just cease to exist when you die, or maybe it's not so bad, those should pay attention to this text. In hell, the man is fully conscious. He's aware of what's going on. He remembers his life. He remembers people in his life. He knows Abraham from the scriptures. He could see Abraham far off, Lazarus at his side. This doesn't do the man any good. If anything, it makes it worse. This harsh reality is self-evident. He's aware. While the man is in torment, he doesn't show any sign of repentance, but he pleads for mercy. Pleads across this chasm to Abraham for mercy. He wants just some relief. So he tries to get Abraham to send Lazarus to give him some kind of relief from the anguish and flame. But it's not possible. Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you're in anguish, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." Abraham tells the rich man, one of his descendants, the harsh truth. He's died, and this is where he will remain for eternity. There's no hope of relief, ever. But the rich man continues, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And this is the heart of the story. Jesus is telling this to the listeners and to us about the word of God. They have the word of God. We have the word of God. The five brothers of the rich man have God's word, but they must become hearers of that word. They've not been hearing it. We don't know why. We don't know why they're not hearing it, but we can think of lots of reasons why we struggle to hear God's word. And maybe part of it is because when you get comfortable in our lifestyles, distracted from our Lord, distracted with this life. This isn't our home. Our home is with the Lord in heaven. And he speaks to us through his word. Like the rich man, we can eat sumptuously every day, satisfying ourselves with the good things that we receive in our lifetime without any concern for the people in need around us. Do we become proud, forgetting that the good things that we have are from God? They're not anything we've earned or deserved. These are gifts from God. James warns about pride that comes when we let the world get between us and God. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. A call to cling to the Lord in humility, humbling ourselves before God. The author of Hebrews quotes King David to warn of those who heard God's word but fell away because of disobedience. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He goes on to admonish us to remain obedient to God's word so that we don't fall away. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but are all naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Yes, the word of God lays us open before God. We are exposed, our sinful condition, but exposed to a merciful God. We plead for mercy, and he is faithful to forgive us, and we repent. God speaks this word to us so that we do not harden our hearts. We do receive good things from God to use to his glory, and with an eye on eternity, not to satisfy our own selfish fleshly desires in this life, but what is going on in eternity? How can we use the good gifts to maybe bring others into Abraham's banquet with the Lord? We help those in need with the good things that we receive from God. And our attitude toward our material goods and wealth, it reflects our faith in God. Faith that He will provide for all of our needs. We don't have to worry. But we can't attend to the people around us, to their needs. Amos warned the people living in luxury not to be grieving over the spiritual. That he's warning them because they're living in luxury and not grieving over the spiritual depravity of the land. This word of God speaks to us today. We're not to live in self-indulgence while we neglect the needs of our neighbor. The word of God from the prophet Amos has also been spoken to the rich man Jesus told us about. He's a Jew, descendant of Abraham. He had heard the prophets, Moses and the prophets. He knows what Jesus and Abraham were talking about. He knew about Amos and that word. But the rich man is in hell because he didn't believe the word of God. Lazarus, on the other hand, did believe God's word. Even though he received bad things in his lifetime, he believed that the Lord would provide for all of his needs in this life and into eternity, even while he suffered. And he entered eternal rest through faith in the promised Christ, the promised Messiah, the Savior, his Lord. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. He comes to us through the Word of God that we hear. And we live in a time of spiritual depravity in our country, in our community, even in our homes. And this grieves the Lord. There are many people who will end up in eternal torment because they're not hearing the Word of God. We have the Word of God, including the Old Testament, that shows us how desperately the people needed God to send a Savior. And the good news of the kingdom, the gospel, that the Savior has come. You have the Word of God in Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament, for you to hear regularly here, including in the divine service. It's in the readings. It's in the liturgy, it's in the hymns, it's in the sermon. You have God's word and the good news of Jesus' suffering and death and the resurrection for your salvation and eternity with him. You have God's word in the cross, a reminder of your salvation, a reminder that you're joined with Christ in his death and resurrection. You have God's word in the bread and the wine, his very body and blood that comes to you for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Good things from God that we receive in our lifetime. So we do feed sumptuously on God's word when we gather for his feast. As we hear his word, let us not harden our hearts, but let us invite to church those who are hungry for a few scraps of God's word, that they may feast with us in this life and in eternity together. We can enjoy the foretaste of the feast to come as we gather for Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper for you. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For a proper stewardship of God's blessings, that God would preserve us from the worship of idleness and love of leisure, and increase in us a desire to pursue contentment, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For pastors and other laborers who make the Lord's gospel known among the nations, that they may be preserved within the church, and that more workers would be raised up to labor in the harvest. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our households, that God would preserve us from idols and sins of idleness, and that he would bless fathers and mothers as they catechize their children to guard their hearts and rejoice in his gifts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who hold authority over us, especially Donald, our president, Tony, our governor, all legislative bodies, all judges and magistrates, and all who serve the public trust, that they may act with integrity and honor in the fulfillment of all their duties and serve the causes of peace and justice for all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in need of God's mercy, especially Bob, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Lois, Louis, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Jaden, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and the families of Dwayne, Dan, Bernard, Joanne, and Skip, that they would be restored and delivered according to his good and gracious will, that in the time of affliction that is given to them, their faith would be strengthened, and they would cling to God's promises and praise his name. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For we who commune on Christ's holy body and blood, that repenting of our sins and trusting Christ's full forgiveness, we may receive him for the strengthening of our faith and for greater love to serve those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful Christians here and scattered throughout the world, that God would embolden us to make the good confession, even in the midst of persecution, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, we praise your name for your faithfulness to Abraham, Lazarus, and to all the saints who have gone before us. Enliven us by your word and sacraments, that convinced of Jesus' death and resurrection, we may eagerly await the day of our resurrection for his sake. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as the offering is collected. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation, Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, true and
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Get ready to go for the green and gold with 105.7 CFW. Listen to CFW each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app, then listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest with 105.7 CFW. Sponsored locally by Chippewa Valley Outdoors, home of the lightest camper, ChippewaValleyOutdoors.com.